Kia ora, welcome to IOU, the University of Otago Alumni Podcast Series, where we get to talk to some of our extraordinary graduates about their out-of-the-ordinary day jobs. Today, we're delighted to welcome Eileen Merriman, who is both a consultant hematologist and a very successful author. So welcome, Eileen. It's lovely to have you on our program.
Thank you.
Perhaps before we talk about your double life in medicine and in writing, if you could give us a little bit of background about yourself, where you grew up and where you went to school and maybe why you chose to go to Otago.
Yeah, sure. So I grew up in Wellington and I, right from a young age, I wanted to be a doctor. I was always interested in medicine and I also really loved books. Probably why I've ended up with a double life. At that time, I think you could apply to go directly into Auckland from medical school. From high school, your last year of high school, or you could go down to Otago and do the first year down there. So I went down to Otago and I was quite keen to go down there anyway. I thought, like the look of the old buildings and things. So I didn't get into medicine the first time. So I did a medical laboratory science degree, which was a 4-year degree. And then I reapplied and then I got into medical school. That way. So I spent quite a bit of time in Dunedin.
Did you enjoy your time down here as a student?
I loved it. Yeah, it was really great. And I like it when I go back. So that's where I met my husband, because we both did the same first degree. So my mother-in-law and a lot of my husband's family lived down there. So we're often back there.
And how was it doing a sort of first degree and then getting into medicine?
I picked a degree that I thought would have some of the subjects that I could do well in, you know, but I also picked a degree where I thought, well, if I don't get in the second time, at least it will provide me with a vocation. But right when I just put in all my applications again for medicine and I worked over the summer in the laboratory and I was just always thinking, I really want to see the patients behind this. I really want to know what their story is, you know. So the lab wasn't really where my heart was, and that was one of the best days of my life, was getting that letter saying that I'd got into med school. And once I got into med school, I really felt like this is where I belong. This is my place, you know, just because I loved the subject matter so much and the people were like me, really, you know.
And I guess the people side, that's reflected in your writing. You have both those interests, yeah, both the medical side and the people.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. There's a lot of art in medicine as well, you know, so that it's a science, but it's also a humanity at the same time.
And with the writing, I had a little look at your background. You spent quite a few years, I guess, consolidating your medical degree and your career. So for a while, you didn't do much writing. Did you write as a child or a teenager?
Oh, yeah, I wrote. So from the age of when I was shown at school how to put a sentence together and to start making stories, I was making stories all over the place. And so there were all exercise books lying around the house with Benji dying in all sorts of awful ways. You know, my mum was always like, well, don't do Benji this stuff, you know, kind of thing. And then I did get the Creative Writing Cup at high school, I remember. And I even wrote chapters for a book, which is in retrospect more like a novella. It was quite short, but I was always giving those to one of my friends when we're in chemistry, meant to be studying, and I'd go, here's the next chapter, and she just loved reading them, you know. So but then when I went off to uni, I just didn't have time, you know, in between studying in the evenings and hanging out with friends. And then I kind of thought, oh, maybe I'm just not a writer, you know. I just had this vision that if I'd stopped doing it, then I guess I'd lost my chance. And so it wasn't until I finished all my studies and became a consultant and was feeling a bit of a loose end and a bit bored, and I decided just to give it a go and was just surprised at what good it made me feel. You know? I can't believe I stopped doing that.
So how does it make you feel when you're writing?
It's hard to explain. I guess it's like any creative outlet for people who like painting or who like knitting or whatever. It sort of puts me in a different space, and it's just nice seeing, that's a way of living in a fantasy world in a way. You're making up stories and then to have people actually read them and enjoy them is great. But even if they weren't, I'm not sure I'd stop writing necessarily. I think I'd still just kind of do it for me. And that was one of the things I noticed when I started writing, was how calm I felt at the end. So even if I come home from a stressful day at work, if I sat down and wrote for an hour and then when my head came up, I'd lost all track of time and I'd think, actually, I feel really good now, you know.
Because I guess that's a big question. How do you manage to do both? I mean, it's busy and you have a family as well.
Yeah, no, life is very busy. When I first started writing again, I just swore there wouldn't be a day when I would never write even just a sentence, you know, and for many years that's what I did. I didn't want to lose it again. But now there are days where I don't write, and I don't write quite as furiously as I was. But I still, not a week will go by when I'm not doing some writing. So it used to be I'd come home and I'd write for a couple of hours every night after dinner, just in front of the TV with my laptop. Not that I was watching TV, but, you know, just being in the lounge with the family kind of thing. Whereas now it's probably more in the weekends that I'd do that, and maybe a little bit after dinner, but sometimes I'm just too tired to do that. So,
yeah. So you were quite successful almost straight away with Pieces of You, with your young adult novel. I mean, how did that feel?
Oh, that was great. I mean, I had some rejected novels before that. So, you know, I had submitted maybe 3 or 4 novels to various publishing houses and they were all turned down. And that Pieces of You, it actually grew out of a short story that was placed in the Sunday Star Times competition. So, but it was the first time I'd written young adult since I'd been a young adult myself, and it just felt so natural when I wrote it. And then, that again was one of the best days of my life, was hearing that a publisher, and not just any publisher, but Penguin, wanted to publish it. Amazing.
Yeah, that must have been fantastic. Yeah. You write across a lot of genres, like you write crime, you write young adult and children and general fiction and short stories. Why is that? Like, some people, I imagine, only write in the one genre, but obviously you enjoy the differences.
Yeah, I guess I like reading across those genres as well, and I just find I get a bit restless and a bit bored. If I keep writing in the same sort of vein, then I just think, I feel like I've been here before, and I start to get a bit bored, and, you know, so then I think, oh, well, it's time for something new, and then it feels really refreshing and is quite fun. So the last manuscript I wrote was actually a satire. I don't know, I've had a lot of fun with that. So, what am I writing at the moment? Speculative fiction, adult speculative fiction, you know, because I started writing another thriller and then I thought, nah, you know, I don't want to go back to this again right now.
What is speculative fiction?
Yeah, it's kind of, it's when something fantastical might happen, but it's not really what the whole story is about. So I guess writers like, I don't know, David Mitchell or Murakami, writers like that, they're writing classic fiction, but if they just pop in a little bit of the supernatural, no one blinks an eyelid. It's slightly like that, you know? So it's mostly moored in the real world, but there's other things creeping in there.
Okay. And what do you read yourself, Eileen?
So what am I reading at the moment? I'm reading something very fast. I'm reading Stephen King at the moment, so his collection of short stories, but I enjoy all sorts of writing. So I just mentioned a couple of my favourite authors, David Mitchell, and who else have I been reading lately? I mean, Margaret Atwood's always been a favourite. We have some amazing Kiwi writers, such as Catherine Chidgey. She's always a good Charlotte Grimshaw. But I also really like science fiction and fantasy. You know, I read the Dune series. I love the Game of Thrones series. So I read all sorts.
What about your subject matter? I mean, there's sometimes a reflection of your medical career and some of the ethics issues and things going on there, but what do you draw from for your writing?
Probably just life in general, really. Yeah, sometimes it's something I've been pondering or thinking about. My young adult one, sometimes it comes out of the feelings I had when I was a young adult, or things that I experienced or saw other people going through. Sometimes it's just, you might read something in the newspaper and think, I wonder how that happened. Or, you know, it's kind of just asking what if. And sometimes I just sit down and start writing and just see where it goes, because I don't really plot most of the time. I just think, where's this going to take me, and head off somewhere.
So are you ever without ideas? Do you ever have that writer's block thing?
Yeah, sometimes I do. And you get that feeling that you're never going to have an original idea again. And that can go on. And sometimes, because I get so frustrated when I'm not writing, sometimes I'll just write anyway, and then sometimes I'll look at what I've written and think, oh, that's trash, and I'll just put it aside. And then sometimes I'll come back to it and it'll all turn into a novel. Or sometimes it'll stay in the trash. I'll go, yeah, that was just me trying to work something out. But I might still borrow bits of it.
Now, you still work as a consultant hematologist. Do you plan to keep doing that as well?
Yeah, I do, because I really enjoy it. Yeah, I used to think, oh, maybe I could give up and be a writer, you know. Actually, sitting around all day with yourself writing, to me, is quite hard. I really enjoy it being something that's still more, I wouldn't call it a hobby, but it kind of is. But I don't want it to be my job, because then I'd probably lose enjoyment in it if I was dependent on it for my income. But I also love my job. You know, I really enjoy what I do, and I've now reached a level of expertise where, you know, I've got all these years of accumulated wisdom that I can now give back, which is great.
Yeah, yeah, no, that must be very satisfying, actually. And I suppose the stimulation sort of helps the creative brain in a way as well.
Yeah, and I really enjoy the social aspect of work as well, but also helping people. And there's always a balance, you know. You can get too far in and you think, oh, I'm just working way too hard, which is something I'm always in danger of doing. And so maybe one day I could work less days and do a bit more writing. That will probably happen with time. But at the moment I'm just happy doing everything, you know, just trying to do what I can.
You're certainly busy. I saw in your details that you also have a PhD from Monash.
Yeah.
What was that in?
Oh, that was in looking at calf vein clots and, you know, a different way of managing those. So it was a clinical trial. So it started when I was doing my fellowship year at Monash in 2010, and I started up the trial then, and then it just kept running it. So I could do a part-time PhD, even though I'd moved back here and was working here.
Yeah, just another thing that you're juggling. It seems like you've got a lot going on.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, yeah.
So thinking about you back at university, I was just thinking, well, two things actually. Firstly, do you have any writing tips for our alumni who are aspiring to be writers or might in the future?
I think reading a lot is always helpful, and thinking about what you're reading when you're reading it. So until I did a writing course, which wasn't until, you know, I was basically a consultant and could afford one, and I had the time, I had never really thought deeply about what I read. You know, I'd read it and take it on board. But once you start thinking about the structure and why am I enjoying this? How does this reader build suspense? You know, how do they choose their language, their pacing, all that kind of thing? That really helps you with your own craft. And then just not being afraid of rejection. Just don't give yourself any, you know. The other thing that was good for me was entering some short story competitions, because then you had to keep to a certain word count, which meant you, every word had to belong in there. But also when I started getting placed in those, I realised that actually I didn't know if I was a good writer or not until then. I thought, oh, somebody else thinks I'm a good writer. That's encouraging, you know.
Yeah, that outside validation, yeah.
Yeah, and just a lot of practice, because you're not going to be good at it straight away. And if you can do a writing course, even if it's just a weekend or something like that, or a workshop at a writer's festival, they often offer those. People can't afford necessarily or have the time for a whole big long writing course, then those can still give you some really good tips. Yeah, but just not giving up too. Yeah,
I see that you write a lot of flash fiction. Can you describe that for us?
Yeah, I haven't written any in a while. But so flash fiction is very short fiction. Usually it's up to 1,000 words, but often when you're submitting for competitions or magazines, they might say 250 word limit or 300 words. So, and I started doing that because I wasn't getting published, and a friend was saying, well, I submit flash fiction and sometimes they get published. So when I started getting those published, I thought, oh, this is actually really fun. And then I saw on Twitter, it used to be called Twitter, and it was much more fun, and they had BAFF flash fiction competition. And I was like, oh, I might enter that. And so it was their first time they were running it. And they said, once we get to 1,000 entries, we'll close it and then we'll judge it really fast. So I won a free entry by submitting a shorter piece, and I had this short story and it was about 700 words. And I thought, oh, how am I going to get that down to 300 words? But I kept chipping away, and it was the day before the deadline, and kept chipping away. And then I thought, wow, this has turned into something really cool. And I sent it off, and then to my surprise, I got third. So I won, I don't know, how many pounds, 300 pounds, I think it was, which is quite good when you convert it through. So that was, But the thing about flash fiction is, even more than short stories, there cannot be any baggage. Every single word has to belong in there. You have to, and there's a lot of reading between the lines. It's like, it's kind of like poetry in a way, but it has to have a story, has to have a narrative arc. And the shortest short story I know of is by Ernest Hemingway, which is 4 words. So I tell people this in my writing classes, and it's "Baby shoes never worn." And that's the story, you know, which is, So they can be very, very clever.
And what comes through from you, obviously, is perseverance. This is something that you really wanted to do, whether you were published or not.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I just love the words, you know. You can't see it, but if I turned my computer around, you'd see all my bookshelves full of books everywhere. So my guilty advice is buying books all the time. So, But I try and read them all. So, yeah.
And what are you working on at the moment, Eileen?
So as I said, a bit of a speculative fiction thing.
Oh, that's
so,
right.
Yeah. So it's got kind of some time jumps and things, but yeah, it's only just started in its infancy. So yeah, can't say too much about it at the moment. But I've set it in Wellington, and the protagonist is in their 20s. So just feels a little bit different because I started writing a thriller set on the North Shore, and I just thought, oh, this is boring me silly. I got to about 20 something thousand words. And thought, no, I just need to put this aside. Yeah.
And what I was starting to ask before as well was looking back when you went off to Otago and you had these two strands of writing and medicine, or just how it felt then. Do you have any advice that you would say to your younger self now?
Yeah, I guess just don't let your dreams go, you know, which I guess I didn't. And, you know, I really... And that's what whenever I go and speak to people in schools and things, I like to say to them how I didn't get in the first time. I didn't get published the first time, but I just kept going. And in that process, I got better, you know. So I guess the advice to my younger self is just stick at it and don't let go. And there are many paths to get towards where you want to go.
That's great. Thank you. Thanks so much for talking to us. We really appreciate it. This podcast is part of a University of Otago alumni series presented by Margie Clark and produced by Fiona McDonald from the Development and Alumni Office of the University of Otago.